Welcome to Threshold Stories. I'm your host, Jeff Gora. Today we're talking to Eric Zaltis, founder of Pivot Nutrition, also known as Power Bar. Eric's going to take us through his threshold story, which is all about acquiring and building the Power Bar brand in the middle of a pandemic. We'd like to welcome Eric to the podcast. Eric, you and I were talking before this podcast started about some things in life. What was it that you've told me that you haven't done since last February that might be of interest to people?
I haven't had a haircut since February last year.
So have you done any selfies or any had any portraits done with your ongoing source of human spaghetti from the neck up?
Well, I was trying to be cautious, like most people, and limit my exposure. And then it took on a bit of a life of its own. You know, I'm getting up into my 50s. I stay pretty fit. I'm fairly youthful otherwise. And the hair is still there. And, you know, so I put it out to my friends, and they said, you've got it. Keep going.
Of course.
I'm a little bit on a roll.
Well, I love it, you know, because the response to COVID has been so unique globally. I build schools in the Himalaya, and when I get messages from them about what life is like in the Himalaya and how they've responded to COVID, you just shake your head and say, that's nothing like the way we've responded in our country, that's for sure. So why not grow the hair? So the podcast here, for you, as we talked beforehand, for you, your threshold story is going to be this last couple of year migration, because you started as a cyclist and you've ended up as a CEO of Power Bar. And for all people online, I'm very, to use the words in English correctly, I am bigoted for Power Bar, and I'll get to there in a second. But your threshold story is going to have to do with trying to kick off a brand relaunch in the midst of a global pandemic for which, you know, your demographics and your market were in a place that you simply put, you couldn't control. And we're going to do some deep dives in that. But I promised everybody I would do a full disclosure anytime there was a need for one. Threshold Academy is an entity that's sponsored by Power Bar. So let's get that out there. I got a stash of Power Bar products to use for all of our triathlon club events, plus our cycling tours that we do in Spain, as well as along the Blue Ridge Parkway. And before we scheduled Eric's interview, I asked many of the people who've been doing stuff with us for a while. I said, I'm going to be online with the CEO of the company, and I wanted everybody's opinion on the products. And I agreed to be completely transparent because we got a handful of products. We didn't get the entire selection. But I asked some of my more elite athletes, the ones who were successful national championship competition quality athletes, what they thought. And everybody gave them two thumbs up. The cookies and cream bar was loved by all. One guy who I thought was going to throw the peanut gel under the bus because of the salt and the peanut blend not being a home run, he completely unwound any expectation I had, and he said it was great. He thought the idea of having that right before he got off the bike really worked for him. And then I asked another female athlete what she thought of it, and she just paused, and she says, every one of these products works for me, which is pretty amazing, considering that most – any brand out there, there's something about it people don't like Apple Earbuds. People don't like those as much as they like the phones. But for whatever reason, your product suite with my group has resonated. And that kind of precipitated this whole idea of having a podcast with you. It's not just, you know, a glory and glamour kind of thing with dollar bills floating at the other end. This stuff works, and I validated it with grassroots people. So it makes sense having you on. So before I go anywhere with Q&A, well done for making a product that people like.
Well, thank you. And thanks for sharing it with the athletes. And that is exactly why we are doing this. This is what gets me up in the morning. I was an endurance athlete. I am an endurance athlete. I got interested in the connection.
Good recovery there, by the way. That was a good recovery.
Wasn't is okay.
You're right. Correct.
Well, I just for the record, a few days ago, I rode 155 miles in 10 hours and consumed a whole bunch of products myself. So, you know, I'm not saying I did this business just so I get some free stuff, but that is one of the things that that I get. Right?
So because of the nature of the people who are listening, let's go way off script right now and give me the granularity of that 155 mile ride. Where'd you go from? Where'd you go to? And why did you do it?
It's actually a great story. So you know, I was racing. I started racing more than 30 years ago, and, mm-hmm. and the bulk of my racing was 80s and early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still friends with a bunch of my old teammates. And last year, one of them came up with the idea of us all doing an old school, just go out there and do a serious ride by yourself. And that the concept was mm-hmm. any old bike racer worth his salt could pull off 200K without any special preparation.
Mm-hmm.
So last year, first weekend of June, a bunch of 50 plus year olds went off without any special preparation, including me. And I did 125 miles last year. And this year, so mm-hmm. I live in New Jersey, and I in the northwest corner of New Jersey mm-hmm. is a mm-hmm. the high point called High Point State Park, and it's a hall from where I live, and it's right at the border of New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And I did a tri-state ride. I went up into New York. I went over High Point, took a picture up at the top, crossed the Delaware, mm-hmm. rode along the Delaware in Pennsylvania, and then circled back home. And, you know, with a couple wrong turns, I was at 155 miles by the end of the day.
So for the record, how many did you really want to do?
You know, I wanted to do at least 125, and mm-hmm. I thought this route might be more like 140.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And honestly, I thought, you know, it's a little tough to go by just, you know, Google mapping it every time, because I was trying to stay off of the main roads and, mm-hmm. you know, and I mostly did do that. So, but it was really a fabulous ride. Very hilly. I got 10,000 feet of climbing and I managed to do it, with good nutrition. Which is the part I knew I'd have that nail,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and you know, a little bit of bluffing and muscle memory.
So the nutrition part, let's kind of jump a bit here. So you started your life, as far as this industry is concerned, as from the athlete side. You're a professional cyclist. You can Google that and read all about your accolades, national champion, lots of races and stuff like that. Then you made a transformation, which I'd say is not standard for a cyclist. You went from the do-it side to the scientist side of it, right? You went into the science industry of nutrition way back when. Talk with us about what was going on in your head when you said, you know, I've got to put down the bike at least to try to pay the bills, and I'm going to do this instead. Talk about that.
Yeah, so even before I was in sport, mm-hmm. I had a scientific mindset. I grew up in the Bronx, and I went to the Bronx High School of Science,
mm-hmm.
Which is a magnet school for, you know, smarty pants. And mm-hmm. it's one of the reasons I actually wanted to get into sport.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I had a brain. And so when I was cycling, you know, it was the early days of the understanding of the importance of carbohydrates for endurance exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there were some of the classic studies were done in the late 70s. And I became interested in my own performance and the impact of nutrition,
mm-hmm.
And obviously training, and the intersection of nutrition and training on preparation and performance. And yeah, mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to dig in deeper, do some furthering of my studies, mm-hmm. and I decided to make a career of it. And I literally have been doing that for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I love it. And you know, at the beginning, it was really about science and the application of sports nutrition science to actual products.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the years that I was an actual bike racer were the years that someone who decided to pursue science would go into further academia. You know, get a PhD, mm-hmm. find a lab to do further research in. And I spent those years as an athlete, no regrets. You know, I had a great time. Got a U.S. Stars and Stripes jersey in the closet still.
Take care of that. Your grandkids are going to want that one day.
My kids couldn't be bothered. So maybe
right? That's normal. That's what I said grandkids for. That was a very intentional comment I might have. Right. So in Charlotte here, where you live, Eric, we had a long time ago, we had this thing called First Union, and then it became Wachovia.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's called Wells Fargo. And as I stare at your bio here, it sounds like you went through that. So talk us through the Power Bar to Maxwell to Nestle to Post to Pivot, because that's a path right there for which you understand, but you uniquely do.
Yeah, it's so, you know, we've been in the mainstream. We've been in this era of low carb or mainstream, mm-hmm. and high protein. In the 80s, it was about high carb and for the mainstream, and it was fat mm-hmm. was the enemy. And at the same time, as I mentioned, you know, there was the beginning of a really good hardcore science about the benefits of carbohydrates mm-hmm. for extending endurance performance. And as the urban legend has it, Brian Maxwell, who's the elite marathoner for Canada, and his girlfriend at the time was at UC Berkeley. They're both in Berkeley, California. Mm-hmm. They mixed up in the kitchen. There's a famous picture of them with a pot and mixing up the ingredients for the first Power Bar. Mm-hmm. And they went around and they had a Ford Falcon and went out to running and cycling events and sampled this new bar. And mm-hmm. where I come in, I was at a race in Texas called the Tour Texas. Mm-hmm. It's actually an international event in and around Austin. And Brian and I believe Brian and some others from Power Bar, and then also Giro Helmets came down, and Oakley Factory Pilots was the first Oakley sunglasses. All of these brands.
So iconic brands today, but back then not so much, right?
Just getting started. Just getting started, and they came down and doing the what you should be doing if you're a sports brand, which is getting out there with the athletes and talking to them and giving them some samples of your stuff. Much like much like you got, mm-hmm. us giving you stuff and giving you to your athletes to try. That is the way it's done, and that was my first exposure to Power Bar. And so my experience was really personal and very solid. These bars for cyclists, especially, they fit so conveniently in your jersey pockets. You know, mm-hmm. I would get into the habit of having a bar per hour of the ride. You know, just slip them in, mm-hmm. and I found a lot of good success. And I started reading up on some of the science behind why it was working, and became really intrigued. And so the Maxwells, just to go back to them for a second, mm-hmm. they started up this thing for themselves and for athletes, and it actually exploded into the mainstream. And after about 15 years, by the year 2000, they sold Power Bar to Nestle for a few $100 million.
So this is Nestle, like the chocolate company, right?
Yeah, Nestle is actually the biggest food company in the world. And mm-hmm. they're not the biggest food company in the U.S., but their footprint all around the world makes them the biggest. They have hundreds of brands. Mm-hmm. So they have brands like Pellegrino and Calistoga and a bunch of confection brands that you know that they're, you know, of course there's the Nestle chocolate, there's Nescafe mm-hmm. coffee and Nespresso, maybe you've heard of. It's a kind of a fancy capsule for espresso drinks. So they have tons and tons of brands, and they decided to get into health and wellness mm-hmm. From the nutrition standpoint, and decided Power Bar was a good brand for them to have. Mm-hmm. But really, they did not spend hundreds of millions of dollars for the purpose of, the crazy Ironman athletes and all the different, gels that they consume. And they were really looking for the mainstreaming of it. And so, I joined, I finished my cycling career. And I joined on actually not long after the acquisition. And so I was at Nestle and working for Power Bar. Mm-hmm. And the great thing was the deep resources that they have, both scientifically and financially. And we did some really great studies furthering the science in carbohydrate metabolism. And I got to have a really significant research budget that a lot of academics would die to have. And so we actually tweaked the formula of that original power bar to bring it up to the standard of the latest science for carbohydrate delivery, and did great things for the products for athletes. But the challenge was the dual masters of athletes and the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Different markets, different uses,
and different physiological needs. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are not right out there, if you are not out there burning it, you don't need as many carbs. I mean, if you have an easy day on the bike or whatever your exercise is, you have less carbohydrate needs than on a long day. So if you're sedentary, your needs go down a lot further. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this physiological difference leads to a marketing dilemma. You know, like how do you actually serve these two masters? And, you know, there's plenty of products out there that are for snacking. But when you have, a brand that was born in sport, you've got to figure out how to keep the reason for the brand while having the expansion into the mainstream. So, you know, this gets into all kinds of marketing strategy in my years with the big businesses running Power Bar. You know, I watched different marketing teams mm-hmm. wrestle with it, and it's a challenge, but.
Yes, you said you said it got to the place where you felt that, or they said that we're not going to prioritize sport. The market for us is not the sport market, right? And then is that right that that's what precipitated Pivot to spin off?
Yeah. So after about 15 years of ownership with Nestle now, so probably 15 with the Maxwells and then 15 with Nestle, Nestle sold Power Bar to Post. And Post Holdings has a lot of great brands in cereal, and they actually have some brands in the active space that are high protein. And you know, this concept of, you know, hardcore fuel for endurance athletes, you know, mom and pop bike and run shops, and crazy endurance sporting events, it didn't fit the model. And they deprioritized it, and I was there, and that was the part that I loved, and ultimately I asked if I could take over that part of the business.
And what year was that? When was that for the listener?
So now we're about 3 or 3.5 years ago. Okay. Was the very, very beginning of that, and so we created this entity of Pivot Nutrition for the purpose of exclusively serving endurance athletes, broadly defined. Now, not, you know, I call a tennis player an endurance athlete, and there's a lot of, and a hockey players on the hockey team, they're burning through carbs and they need to replace mm-hmm. as well. So Pivot was born to bring Power Bar back to athletes, and so we started that up, and so, you know, this is a now, you know, after all of these years, we are going back to what the Maxwells did, you know, in the early to mid 80s.
Yeah, you're going back to the hearts of your original brand loyalists.
We are. And I'll tell you, the heart is still beating. It's mm-hmm. really cool. And, you know, I'll just tell you as an example, there are some legacy folks. We have some athletes who've been doing this for decades. And they're killing it still. And, you know, I love those guys. We have some athletes whose parents were hardcore Power Bar consumers. And they were raised on
wow.
this stuff. And they always have these great stories. You know, we're talking about, like, on our Instagram, maybe doing some stuff for Mother's and Father's Day around some of the parent stories. And then we just have some new folks who don't necessarily have that story, but they know the brand, and it somehow sticks to them, and it has a place, it, you know, inside of them that I understand, you know. Mm-hmm. I have
well, full disclosure right here. I am currently sitting in a high-tech basement surrounded by lots of recording equipment, and directly above me is a a hardwood floor, and if the hardwood floor broke, I would probably be hit by Power Bar products. Because directly above me are two cardboard boxes I got from Natalie with the stuff we use in our triathlon club and on all of our long-distance cycling tours. And I still have a bunch of that stuff right up there. And in fact, our group is doing a 10K trail run tonight at the National Whitewater Center down the road from where I'm at right now. And I'm bringing some of the stuff with me because pretty much everybody in the group's going to have something before we run that 10K because it's going to be hot and it's a trail run. So you burn more calories per mile or per K on the trail than you do on a traditional road model. So I am one of those guys. So
yeah,
whatever the profile is, I'm kind of the person who fits it.
Yeah. And, you know, the model for Pivot Nutrition is, you know, back to that beating heart of us endurance athletes. You know, we have needs, we have physiological needs. And what I love about what you said when you're talking about your athletes experiencing the product, they're talking about not just that it works, but that they're enjoying them, mm-hmm. which is the combination of nutrition science with food science. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is really, again, that's why I do this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we our model is back to athletes.
So as I asked you earlier, I said, if somebody wanted your stuff, you gave me the answer, said, well, ideally you'd go into your shop, your local shop, and ask for it and get the local shopkeeper to start stashing the stuff, i.e. don't go to the big box stores to get this. Get it from events that you go to from local store owners and stuff like that. That model is missing. Everybody thinks the only way to sell is, you know, get on Alibaba or something like that. And it resonates when you hear that we think every local bike shop should keep this stuff because it really works.
If it was up to me, that it would only be in the small enthusiast mom and pop, where the people who work there, mm-hmm. they're out doing runs or rides at the end of the day. They're the ones that they put the little posters up about events that are coming up. Those are our people. And, you know, they're in my local town. You know, I'm in my shops all the time. Actually, the guy who runs my local shop, he just emailed me and said, I've got a kit with our bike shop kits. Just come in. You guys, you're so good to us. Come and get a kit. Mm. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. Again, you know, this is the fun part of what I do. And
so what, you know, kind of events do you like to be at?
Well, you know, in terms of
where would Power Bar? Yeah, what kind of events?
Okay, so, you know, once upon a time and in the future are the New York, Chicago, and Boston Marathon. Mm-hmm. Right now we are focusing on your small local events.
Mm-hmm.
This coming weekend, we will be at the Hyannis Triathlon on Cape Cod,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's a fabulous little event. There's actually Rev 3, I think, in Virginia will be at another triathlon. These are, you know, local events, and it just goes perfectly with local endurance athletes that we're supporting all over the country and with the mom and pop shops. I mean, those are our people.
Mm. I like it. So I asked you this before, and it's a meaningful. It's kind of a meaningful, thoughtful next step question. Is now that you've successfully navigated the COVID world, back in the times of COVID, I feel that's going to be a name of a book sometime in the next 5 years. Where is it going? What is your product action marketing direction going? Paint out a picture for me of what you perceive happening in 2022, 2023.
Because yeah,
I know everybody's listening, they're asking that question too.
Right. So we definitely, we had to work our tails off during this COVID winter because we were trying to build distribution in the little shops as they were trying to struggle and make it themselves. Mm,
correct.
So we made it through that. And now that we're coming out at the end of this COVID winter, things are taking off. We're growing like crazy right now. And so I feel like the rocket ship has left the launch pad, mm-hmm. and we're dropping the first booster. And we're
great visual.
And believe me, it was you know, when that rocket ship, it's like there's tons of like fuel is being burned and it's barely moving. I know exactly what that feels like. All right. Mm-hmm. And that was an endurance event in and of itself. But we're moving now. We dropped the first booster and, you know, we are going to launch new flavors of products. Mm-hmm. We're going to launch new types of products. We are going to go to bigger events, and we are going to be on a rocket ship ride and take PowerBar back to its leading place mm-hmm. in sports nutrition.
So when somebody shows up to one of the events for the first time, I always give them a Threshold Academy water bottle. And I say, we've got PowerBar products. Would you like to take some with you on the ride tonight? And they always ask me, what flavors do I have? And I've got a really dry sense of humor. And I say, well, we got three to pick from tonight. You can have either chicken, beef, or pork. And then I just stop talking and I look for their visual response. And the faster they start laughing, the more likely I'm going to like them.
That's good.
But we stick with that sort of model to indoctrinate people to it. Yeah. So, sport.powerbar.com is where you send people if they can't get it at their local joint to get it. And I'd like to close the podcast by saying Eric and the marketing team created a coupon code good for the rest of the month for my gang. And anybody listening, Threshold 25, if you place that in your coupon code section of that website and hit apply, it'll give you 25% off on whatever's on your order for the rest of the month. And that's a good thing.
Absolutely. Would love people to try the stuff and get to experience what you guys have experienced. And please feel free to reach out to us and give us feedback. We love that. Appreciate being able to share it with your group.
I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, that was it. Threshold Stories is done for the day. Until next time, see you later. Thanks for listening to this chapter of Threshold Stories, Crossing Thresholds, One Story at a Time. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me directly. You can find me on LinkedIn or on my Facebook page at Jeff Gora Team USA.